All right, it's 1 o'clock. You know what time that is? It's time to grill Jeannie. Yeah, grill Jeannie and Jermaine. And that's the call we're having right now. So welcome to the Mastery Call. If you have any questions at all about if you're in the middle of a deal, if you're getting any objections, if you need help raising money, because we got Jeannie here, Jeannie Olowski. So Jeannie, tell the new people. Go ahead, you can kick off the call.
So I'm Jeannie. I've worked with Dave for 20 years. I do multiple different things. I help you guys out. I do a lot of services for RE Mentor. I'm Dave's investor relations person. I've raised $150 million along the way so that we can close deals with it. And I'm here to help you. So enough about me. Let's talk about you. So we're going to start the day by talking about what is coming up. Tammy left for Hawaii. We're having a multifamily event in Honolulu, Hawaii this weekend, December 1, 2, and 3. At the same time, I'm headed to Los Angeles at the LAX airport. I will be at the commercial training event with Bob Bowman and Diane Bowman. And Jeff is headed to Secaucus, New Jersey for the immersion training, December 1, 2, and 3. So we're all scattered. Everybody's working and, you know, trying to improve life for all of you guys and do the best we can to help you move from where you are to where you want to be. Our first high five of the day goes to Steve Firestone from Alpharetta, Georgia. He used to live in Boca Raton, but he moved to Alpharetta, Georgia, because he was closing deals over there. He closed on 280 units in Columbia, South Carolina, on the 17th of November, directly during the sponsorship event. He was so excited, and the dong hit, and he closed a deal with a purchase price of $11,450,000 with a lot of value plays, raising occupancy, raising rents, and upgrading interiors. It brings his total to 1,400 units, and he recently closed a 300-unit property and was able to give a 43% return to his investors. So he's pretty excited about that. All right, do we have an operator on the call today?
Hi, Jeannie. This is Lillian. How are you?
Hey, Lillian. Want to tell everybody how to ask a question on the call?
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star zero for questions, please. Thank you.
Okay, I'll ask the first question that came in, and then hopefully we have some other questions coming in. So the first question, when underwriting a portfolio deal, do you have to analyze each deal separate or can you do it as one large deal? That came from Lori Ryan in Dallas, Texas. I would do each one separately and then put them all together as a full deal because you want to see which ones are dogs and which ones aren't, which needs the most care. And, you know, you want to be able to know everything there is to know about that property. And doing it separately is going to give you a bird's eye view of what's going on there. That's just my take. I say do them separately and then do them together as one deal. Any questions yet, operator?
Together in. Yeah, so like so you analyze them separately, but then on your letter of intent, you put in like what the combined offer price is going to be. So you just put in one letter of intent. So you don't have to put a letter of intent on both properties if it's
right.
A portfolio.
Good going, Jeff. I forgot to say that.
I learned from the best.
Well, from your brother, right? So here's the second question.
Talk about Jermaine.
Dave, I am a new investor and wanted to know what is your opinion on building multifamily property on empty lots, or is it better to start with turnkey properties? And that comes from Sumanto Ghosh from San Francisco, California. Well, the concern I have about buying an empty lot and building a multifamily property on it is how long is it going to take you to get paid? You're going to be doing all that work and not have a payday. So I suggest you get a multifamily property that's pre-built, cash flowing, before you go on a limb and buy an empty lot and build something, because you're talking 6 months to a year before you're going to get a payday, and you're going to be working pretty darn hard before you even get paid. It's discouraging. Why not get a turnkey property and get paid right away and then go off on a limb and do the other? Plus, who's going to invest in it? You need to have investors that are savvy and don't really need the cash flow. So it's challenging. That's my take. Operator,
real quick,
do you have
Jeannie,
any
plus,
questions?
Real quick, Jeannie, can I add on that also? This is Jermaine.
Absolutely.
So also, with construction projects, especially huge ones, there's a lot of times you can run into a lot of snags. And if you ever notice, you ever go by in any city or any empty lot, a lot of times you'll see a project that is halfway built, and then you're wondering when they're ever going to finish it. It's because they usually run out of money. So you have to be wary of that also. So I just want to throw my 2 cents on that.
Thank you. I like that. So, operator, did you see here have any questions?
Yes, we do, Jeannie. First question comes from Francine. Francine, please go ahead.
Hi, Jeannie. It's Francine. How are you?
Good, girlfriend.
Good.
I was going to call you and cancel tonight.
Okay.
Because we were going to get together. I'm going to cancel
because
I'm headed to California this weekend, and it's just too much going on.
All right, well, we'll figure out another date.
What's
soon.
Your question?
But just a real quickie question. I just popped in on the line, and I missed out the name of the person who just had all that success in Carolina and owns 1,400 units now.
Steve Firestone.
Oh, okay. Oh, congratulations.
I can get you his contact. Yeah, I can get
you
his contact.
All right, thanks, Alan. We'll
catch
up soon.
Yep, definitely. Right. Bye-bye.
Okay, up next we have Jean. Jean, please go ahead.
Hi, Jean. Jeannie, this is Jean. I'm getting confused. I just joined the Dave Lindahl program.
Dave Ramsey?
No, it's a Monday for me. Actually, I live in Washington, D.C. I've been buying single families in the Baltimore area. So I have an investor colleague friend that needs to spend $200,000 to acquire property by the end of this year for tax purposes. So I'm looking to team up with, if anybody has a deal, multi-unit, I would love to give them my information and team up with them. If anybody out there.
Give it away.
Okay. My email address is Jean. Email is Jean, as in J-E-A-N. Middle initial is G, as in George. And last name is N-I-C-O-L-A-S, Nicholas, as in Nicholas Cage, the better looking version, @gmail.com. So Jean G. Nicholas @gmail.com. Okay, and we need to be in, if somebody's already in contact.
Somebody will reach
great.
Out to you. That'd be
okay,
great. $200,000, it's excellent.
Thank you. Thank you, Jean.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Okay, up next we have Paul. Paul, please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Jeannie. This is Paul out in Minneapolis.
Hi, Paul.
I'm writing an LOI. And I'm wondering this time of the year, with holidays involved, do I need to specify in my LOI that You know, you say you're going to get stuff done in 30 days or 45 days. Do you need to specify less federal holidays or anything like that, or what's your thoughts on that?
Well, first you got to get it accepted. You really want to give them like a 5-day window to reach back out to you with their counteroffer. But while you're doing it, you're still going to go with the 45 days for due diligence and the 45 days for commitment from the bank. So how large is the property?
116 units.
You want to give yourself the best window that you can. And these are business days. They're not counting weekends, so that should give you plenty of time.
So it's not calendar
days. Specify business days. Yeah. In your letter of intent. So if it's a holiday and the banks aren't open, you can't count that as a day.
Okay, that's what I wondered, if it was calendar days or business days. Okay. And then have you ever known someone who bought this property is a 55-plus property? Have you ever do you know anybody who's ever converted it back from a 55-plus to a standard?
Yeah, I don't. Why is a 55 and over not profitable?
It has a good track record, but I just thought potentially, I wondered if you could maybe make more money if you had opened it up to the whole marketplace rather than a limited market, you know?
I don't know anybody. Jeff, do you know anybody?
Nope, I don't.
Okay. Well, thanks for clarifying that.
Oh, those 55 and overs are coming up and... I mean, they're all around my neighborhood. There's like 4 of them. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm thinking with the baby boomers retiring and all that stuff, that should be a good market, so.
I'm one of them, but I'm not retiring.
Hey, Paul, The only thing that I would be concerned about is that if you open it up to everybody, you may lose the current tenants that you have, because the reason why people move into those buildings is because they don't want to deal with children and all the other nonsense that you have to deal with when you open it up to everybody else. So you got to think about that.
I think you're right, yeah. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
Okay, next we have Roger. Roger, please go ahead.
Hey, Roger from sunny Southwest Florida. Hi, Jeannie, Jeff, and Jermaine.
Hello there.
Hello.
Did you have a good time at the sponsorship event?
Yeah, I did. I've got 125 business cards. Yeah.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
Great.
Kind of a sort of off-the-wall question, but looking at something, the operating expenses provided by the owner are $7,500 per unit, much too high. We've gone through this with a Marcus and Villachev guy ad nauseum. He's extracted all the things that seem to be non-recurring, i.e., you know, CapEx, fix the place up, paint, parking, etc., got it down to $5,800 per unit. I feel they should be more like $3,600 per unit operating expenses. But my question is, you got any tips? How can you verify that in due diligence when it bears really no resemblance to the figures you're being provided?
Are you basing everything off of actuals?
Well, yeah. We have actuals, and then actuals taking out the things that were clearly done to, you know, paint and parking lot or whatever, get it ready to sell, and that we're still at $5,800 a unit. Seems very high.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how we could prove it's, you know, how we could prove it. If you had just had any tips for sort of how you prove it during due diligence or otherwise?
Well, are you looking at the bank statements?
No, we don't have bank statements yet. Haven't been provided.
Well, that might be a way to prove where they spent their money. And what driveway they paved. Maybe they paved their own household driveway instead of the property's driveway.
Okay.
How many units is it?
I'm sorry?
How many units is it? How many units?
Just 44.
44 units?
It's one of several buildings, but this particular building is 44 units.
So you're gonna have to recreate it, right? You just look at the 9 operating expenses, just find out what the taxes are going to call it, the tax assessors, find out how they do the taxes, if it's a point of sale, or if they're in like a 4 or 5 year like tax assessment like cycle. So find out about the taxes, call up an insurance broker, find out what in the local area to find out what it would cost to insure it. If you've been for marketing, what's the occupancy? Do you have any idea what the occupancy's been lately on it?
Yeah, it's 96. They're claiming fairly high, but again, they may have pumped it up with anybody they could find. Yeah, just hey, no, that's a good
around.
Point. Yeah. Sorry.
Do they have rent rolls that they
yes.
can give you?
Yep.
Yeah, so as for the last 12-month rent rolls, right, then you can, see how the occupancy's been trending on the property, and you can pull up your gross scheduled rent on it, then you can see what they're charging the tenants, if they're charging them for any other income items on the rent roll, if it's a good one.
And see if they're giving any of their units away.
If you can get some of the bills, okay, and which on the bank statement, it's going to tell you, if you can get bank statements from it or indicate what they're using for marketing, so you have an idea of what it's cost to market it, to market that property in that area, so you can grab that the marketing values. Then repair and maintenance, have you drilled the property? Have you seen the property at all?
Yeah, no, I toured the property a couple of years ago and again recently. I mean, it clearly they did paint, they did decorate, they spent some stuff to fix stuff to sell.
What age is it?
We think we've extracted
What age
that.
Is the building?
Oh, 80, mid-80s, 85, I think.
Oh, yeah, so you'd be around 500 per unit. Then see if you can get some utility bills. Then you'll know what's going on for utility bills. If you can't get them, just call up the utility company. They'll know the property. They'll be
Okay. Thank you. I just thought I'd bounce it off. You experts. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Have a good day, Roger.
We didn't get it. Yeah, we didn't get into management, but if you call several management companies in the area, you can find out what to carry for management, and then when he's talking to the management company, you could ask him for that size building in that market, what do you need for staffing, what does staffing get paid, what are the benefits, what are the taxes. So you can pretty much recreate the operating expenses. But the important thing is if they start running it, because the lender's going to need to know those operating expenses, so they're going to have to start depositing money into the bank with bank statements, because the lender, whoever they're using for a lender, is going to have to back it up with that. So now you start and create a history. Then you have to figure out, is it your best use of time? Is it a deal? Is it a deal that you want to go through all that work recreating the financials, which has to be done?
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate your insight.
You're welcome.
Okay, up next we have T. T, please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. I'm an investor from California, and I have two questions.
Thank you.
Yes.
I thought you lived
in
Indianapolis.
Oh, yes. I do go to the boot camp in Indianapolis, but I went back to California. Just started my career. Okay, so I'm researching about a small town called Racine in Wisconsin. And I found out there's a very big company called Foxconn. They come in this small town, and they will bring 13,000 jobs in the future. But the thing is, right now, I find out the small town just have the population 78,000, and it's very small. And I assume they don't have many multifamilies over there, but they will in the future. But because for me right now, if I go there, it's no much multifamily over there. What's my best strategy to do that?
Well, you could buy on the outskirts of town.
Uh-huh.
You know, into a different town other than that one, but one close by where they're building for these new work.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know, Jeff, you got anything?
Plug in the, go to city-data, right, and find out, put in that town, and then find out, it'll tell you where the closest 100,000 population city is, and so then look at, then look at the infrastructure, then figure out where they're going to start pulling people to work at that plant, okay, and then find, like a sub-market or a neighborhood that's surrounding that area, because like they call the Economic Development Committee too and find out if there's any other potential jobs coming in that area and find out. And then like where you want to position yourself where it's going to be an easy commute to get into that area. So yeah, that's
okay.
That's the strategy I would do. I don't know if I'd invest in that city itself. You want to invest where some people might be going to that place, but maybe there's some other jobs that are coming in too. Because the reason why that company relocated there, maybe they're giving out incentives. So maybe there's some other companies that you're not aware of that are coming in that area too. So it could be a growing area.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Question? Yeah. Hey, hold on a second. See if there's any type of train.
Sure.
That's going in that area too. So maybe there's some subway work that they're doing to open up substations. Maybe that'll get the workers into that town. Maybe that's like, maybe that's part of the master plan where there's just like, it could be a revitalization zone or something like that. So those are the things I'd look at. Give a few calls, look at a map, go to AAA, grab a map of that city, see what's close to it, and like, that's what I would do.
Thank you so much. And another question. So I'm looking for the building permits. So I go to the economic department and asking for the building permits. But how do I know that the building permit right now is like high or low? What's the standard to measure it?
Well, the most important thing with the building permit is where they're building. That's going to tell you that it's mostly like if there's going to be a surplus of a properties, because that's going to be new construction. So then you want to know where to pull in the permits, where to be. And basically when the A's come in, right, and you get people that don't want to pay the A price, they're going to be shifting out. So find out where they're building the A's properties and try to be outside of that so you can grab the people that don't want to pay the $3,000 to $4,000 a month for rent and find some good either C-plus properties in areas that are turning so you can take a B tenant, throw it into a C-plus property, and then your value place is going to be like increasing the rents. But you need to get a place that has good floor plans and has areas to add good amenities, okay, because the older properties don't have those areas. Some do, and those are ones that you want to be looking at. But then you also have to find out, too, the important thing, too, is like there could be like building permits, right, but you want to find out what's the turnaround time okay? Because, you know, in Texas, like an apartment complex could take like like 10 to 18 months to complete, where in Chicago or in Boston, it could take you 10 years. So it's the turnaround time.
That's important. Okay.
Yeah, if they have strong political leadership, then they'll push the building permits through. Like, if you're in Boston, if you look at the South End, it's like you see all the cranes in the sky because we had a new mayor came in about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And before, there used to be so many bottlenecks, so many committees, everything to get any type of new construction done. Well, he said he wanted a turnaround time of like 2 weeks process on those permits. And that's what really sparked the growth in like the South End of Boston.
He's a very popular mayor, too. Our governor.
Okay.
Isn't
Thank
he?
You. Yes. And thank you so much, guys. I love you guys so much. And have a great day.
And
we hope to see you very soon.
If I talk too fast, right? The call is going to be up on the website so you can listen to the recording and like understand everything I said.
Yes, I will. Definitely. Thank you so much. I will see you in the...
All right, so...
In the net. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I'll see you
Bye-bye.
In the ending.
Take care, guys.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Okay, up next we have Chris. Chris, please go ahead.
Hey, Jeff? Jeannie? Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, Chris.
Yep.
I can hear you. Twice in one day.
Hey. I know, right? Jermaine, I didn't mean to leave you out.
That's all right. They normally do.
We never do.
Hey,
is that a pity party you haven't?
Oh, my gosh. Did you talk to Dave? No.
No.
Because
it's Chris McKenna.
You gave me a hard time about... Yeah.
Yeah, Chris McKenna.
Oh, well, good, Chris.
Not much.
Oh, things are like freezing in Minnesota. It's going to be 55 degrees tomorrow in Boston.
It's like 60 here today.
Chris McKenna has a LOI about to be accepted.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm pretty close here. Basically, the broker, I called him for a little bit of guidance after the seller countered. And I just said, all right, what do I need to do? What's his mindset? Because we got some problems with the buildings that was, after we visited, a couple of roofs, a couple of cracks in the foundation, some boilers need to be replaced, the parking lot, the whole nine yards. It's a B property, B location, and it's probably a C minus property, maybe even a half a D. But so it's kind of exciting, but we'll see where it goes. And the broker just kind of said, I think he's going to accept anything you counter back with. So I'm kind of looking for a little guidance on some rent. I have the rent roll. And when I started, just going through some of the scenarios that we talked about, Jeff, some of the exposures and some of the things like that, what I started to notice is that the rents are all over the place. I've got like a studio that's $475 and then a studio that he's charging $725 on, right? And then I've got a one bedroom that he's charging. What was the lowest charge? $525 up to $745. So and then same with
maybe
the
he's got corporate housing in there.
It's not corporate housing. It's definitely not corporate housing. But he does have. One of the things that, the other and the two beds, they go up to $830, but all the way back down to like $595. So I guess my question or my thought process was, if that's what the market's bearing, the higher rate, would that be potentially my market rent for this building? If people are willing to pay that for each of those units, could I use that? And I did look, I've got market research for other rents. And the rents are in line, but like I said, they're all over the place. And I'm just thinking, if I took like the highest rent of each unit, the one beds, you know, whatever it was, and then took all the rents and say whatever the difference was from that highest rent, tally those differences out, would that be my potential market increase? Because I've never looked at it like that. I've always just gone, looked at the market rent, see what they were charging, and then kind of applied it to the building. Are you guys following how I'm thinking about it?
Yeah, there's a couple things on that, right? Do you have is it in Excel, the rent roll? Or is it in a PDF?
I just put it in an Excel. So if you want, I can shoot it over to you, kind of see what I did.
So what you want to do, right, is like do a sort by lease start date, and that's going to show you what they're getting for those units right now. The good part would be if like all those 875s are like just recent, but the bad thing would be if it was from tenants that signed that lease like 10 or 11 months ago, and now there's current ones for that size unit at 475. So that's going to tell you what they get today on the units.
Yeah, it's only 85 units. So I did that pretty quick, Jeff, and all the higher rents, well, there's a couple scenarios, but the higher rents are recently signed, and there is –
okay.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 10 units out of the 85 that have some assisted living. You know, it's some program that Iowa has. It's called Anawam. And they're just they add to it. And those are some of the higher rents too. So it's that the new rents and then some of these subsidized rentals as well. So I did look at that, and the subsidized rentals are new as well. It's not just – so there's a couple different things going on, and I was just kind of trying to, you know, what is my true potential rent in this property as it is without doing a thing, because that's kind of how I'm looking at it. I think we have a potential to do some upgrades and maybe bring it to, you know, a C-plus B building eventually, but that's not my – would be my initial play, right? There's no rubs on this building either, which is a commonality where the building's located too. So we got a couple immediate plays, one to increase the rent and then the rub program. And that's kind of how I was looking at it. But I guess it was kind of looking at the rents, though, where the highest ones were and then thinking about it. I think I thought about it the way you were, you know, just said it, like look at the newest ones, you know, when they were signed and when they're all due. And I did that. You know, I thought it was, oh, geez, this is way too much. It's like almost $100,000 on 85 units in a year on potential, you know, market increase. So that's why I was kind of freaking out.
Yeah, but
like,
that's a value play. That's a value play, Chris. That's not how you're buying it.
No,
you got to price it
all.
As how you're buying it, not with the value play.
I understand that. I do understand that. So, but my thought is, you know, what am I going to do with it when we get it, right? The value play is how we make more money, right?
Well, that's how you sell it to your investors.
Yeah. So what I would do is like I put that street address in, like just do apartments, that street address, put it into Google, then go on Google Maps and see how many other apartment complexes pop up around that area. And then like then you go to their website and find out what they're offering, look at the floor plans. If you go to apartments.com, like about, I don't know, like 80% of the time they'll tell you what the year built is on the property, so you can like you can create your competition like analysis on it, and you pretty much look at all the ones that are about the same age and look at their floor plans and see what they're getting and see what the amenities. So it's just like create your market survey around there, because that's where the sizzle is going to be later on if you like, you know, you can talk to your investors about getting into that deal, and that'll give you an idea where the market rent is too, you know? So that's what I would do.
Yep. I actually did that, and you broke up a little bit. I don't know what you said, but I used MapQuest or Google Maps. And then
you don't know what I said? Then how do you know that you did
that? Because I heard part of it. Because I heard part of it. You broke up on it.
I grew up with Chris. So all the other listeners, I grew up with Chris. That's why I can say that.
Yeah. The thing
and I can
is, Chris, you know, from Boston, you know, we here in Boston, we spell it like it is.
No, you
if
don't.
We catch you in a in something, we're going to tell you.
That's fine. No, but no, like what I got out of it was that, you know, I did pull up Google Maps, found some local apartments, pulled their rents through like just apartments.com or apartment search, and then started looking at what the one beds were going on, how much square feet. I did see some of the when the buildings were built, the age of the buildings, but not all of them publicized that. But you know, just looking at the pictures, comparing them, the properties, and kind of getting an overview of, you know, going through Google search and going down to the street level just to kind of do some comparisons. So that's why I think the market is right in where the higher rents are. But
oh, great! Again, that's really good.
So I'm feeling pretty good about the rents. My thought was, geez, if I'm getting this much on the rent now, can I just assume? And I know assume is not the best word, but you know. Kind of use that as the potential market since we're already getting that on a couple of the units. So that's really what it was. But I think you've got me in the right direction, and I guess I'm good. That's really all I had. One thing that I was thinking about, you know, the gentleman that was trying to struggle to see maybe I missed this too. I thought he was looking about trying to determine, you know, how the property was doing and if they'd done the work that they said they did with the CapEx numbers, or did I miss that totally?
That was Roger. That was Roger Yates.
So what I was thinking, you know, and I don't know if you said this because I kept, you know, that's when I popped my question in. What I was thinking is I know that one of my partners, when we were looking at a building and there's some work done, he always asked, can you show me the receipt? Because we're going to want to see, you know, what exactly was done, blah, blah, blah. So that's another thing that Roger could do for work that's been asked for the receipts for what they say was done from that contractor. So that way you can kind of match him up and say, oh, he did do this. So that's what's on the bill anyway, you know. It was just something that I got my couple.
And hopefully you wrote down the number for the guy that wants to spend $200,000 before the end of the year.
I got his name. I didn't have a pen in my hand. I was walking around doing something else.
You know, you haven't learned a thing. You haven't learned a thing. You have a pen right behind your ear every day.
You know, I just got off the phone with my mom. I didn't expect to have a second call with it. So that's all I got. I think there's probably other people that have questions. So thanks so much, you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Ready?
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, all right, so get in the queue, press star zero if you want to grill Jermaine. All right, Jermaine's turn to get grilled.
Yep.
Okay, up next we have Rhea. Rhea, please go ahead.
I think she got tired.
She got tired.
Rhea, please check if your line's muted. Yes, there you go.
Hi, can you guys hear me now? Sorry about that, I was muted.
Hi, Rhea.
Hi there. I have a question for you, Jeannie, and I know he just said, I know Jeff just said Jermaine, but since Jeannie, you presented this at
he was joking.
Trainings, well, you might have been able to answer it anyway, but I'm working on my property package for the deal that I just got. And Jeannie, I remember you saying when you send out requests for investors, you give them a period of time to respond. Generally, what amount of time do you give them? Because I want to put that on my deal, too.
It depends on how quickly I need to raise the money. If I have a window of time and I need to take questions or whatever. Normally, we like to do a conference call, talk about the property, Then I send the property package out to everybody, and then I follow up with everybody that was on the conference call. I get their phone numbers. I might not have their names, but I get their numbers, and then I call them up, and I say, what questions do you have? Because I'm here to answer them. And I always tell everybody, first come, first serve. So the sooner
I was planning to do a conference call. I just sent out – oh, sorry about that.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to try and do a conference call. Right now I've got an email crafted. I've already sent out a few to people, prospective investors. So, you know, I was planning to try and do a conference call or something where I can discuss it with the group, you know, of people that are interested. But I'm also trying to finish the property package, so I just wanted to try and get – we've got 90 days to close, 45 days to line up financing and do the due diligence, and then another 45
yep.
days to close.
And how much are you trying to raise?
$2.43 million.
And you only got 90 days, and you haven't done
yeah.
your property package. And have you got your syndication documents? Have you got your syndication documents?
I do not yet. I have emails to both Kim and Jean Trowbridge to talk to them when they have a chance. So this
I'm
week,
choking
really.
Because, you know, the holidays are coming. It's not like a five-minute thing. You better get those documents or else. Right away, you're going to be filing for an extension. I can tell you right now, you're not giving yourself enough time.
Okay, well, I'm working on it. I know I'm a little behind schedule. I'm working on it as quick and as long as I can.
Yeah, you better be calling in some troops to help.
Well, I'm working with Jeff. He's my sponsor, so I don't know who else I can call to help, but we'll get there.
Are you talking Jeff Kissy?
Yes.
Okay, and does he use Kim Taylor or Gene Trowbridge for his property packages?
No, he actually gave me a third name.
Documents?
He gave me a
Call
third name.
Call them.
His name
Maybe
is Mark,
they work quicker.
Mark Long. Oh, okay.
Maybe they
say.
Work quicker. I would call them because you need
okay.
those documents before you can take a nickel.
Okay. I didn't realize that. So, all right.
Not to
I'm
put
gonna,
any pressure
I'm,
on you, Rhea. No, you
oh,
cannot
yes, you
take any money in your. But you can't take any money in the bank account until you have your syndication documents signed by the prospective parties. Have you even got your EIN number yet?
I do not. My attorney's working on that, so.
Boy. It's sooner rather than later on these things.
Yep, I've been pushing all of it. I will get it done. I'm going to call Mark as soon as the call's done, so.
Okay.
But anyway, appreciate it. So the package, my package will be done.
Okay.
Today. Thanks.
Yeah, send it to me. I'll critique it.
Okay, I will do that.
Am I going to see you at the commercial training?
No, because I probably will be in Kentucky to do the
okay.
due diligence. So, but.
All right, my friend.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, up next we have Jean. Jean, please go ahead.
Hey, Jeannie and Jeff, this is Jean calling back again. I think I overheard Jermaine and folks needed my number. And I, by the way, I've been getting emails. Thank you so much. This is awesome. Thanks. email, if you would, is Jean, J-E-A-N, G as in George, and Nicholas as in Nicholas Cage, N-I-C-O-L-A-S. So Jean, G, Nicholas, at gmail.com. And I am in Washington, D.C. I've mostly been buying single families in the Baltimore, DMV area, mostly focused in Baltimore. So I know folks have been sending me deals that are Midwest. I'm open to that, but ideally would like something on the East Coast. I mean, I'm not being picky because we need to get into something before the end of the year. So, ideally on the East Coast. Yeah, just shoot me, and you are in contract. So, we'll try to make it happen. Thank you so much, folks. This is exciting for me. Actually, never been in a program like this.
I bet. What an opportunity to get rid of $200,000 before the end of the year.
Exactly. Yep. Thank you so much, everybody. I appreciate that.
Okay. You take care. Bye, Gene.
Okay. We have no further questions at the moment.
Okay. I have some. There seems to be an awful lot of questions about this same topic. So first we're going to do Joanne Urquhart, and she's from Great Falls, Virginia. If I raise money for a deal that a sponsor is doing him or herself, can I be an equity partner if it is a significant amount of money that is $1 million or more? Yeah, you gotta work that out. What I would do is be a partner in the deal. Your job will be to raise the money. His job will be to manage it. And, you know, you 50-50 split with him. That's what I would do. Don't sell yourself short. Raising $1 million is a feat in itself, and you're really saving him from all the work that he's done, you know, to sponsor this deal. I would be a partner with him on the deal. That was Joanne Urquhart's question. The next question comes from Flo Thomas from New York. Can you explain exactly what a sponsor does? Do they put money in the deal? And what would be the sponsor's main responsibility? The sponsor's main responsibility is to qualify you for the mortgage and have up to 6 months liquidity in mortgage payments. Occasionally, the sponsor will put up money. They don't have to. That's your job to raise the money. But some will, some won't. It depends on who you're working with. That's a question you should ask them right from the get-go. But to reiterate, their main job is to qualify you for the mortgage, the non-recourse mortgage. Any questions, operator?
No, Jeannie, there are no questions at the moment.
Okay, thank you, Lillian. This next question comes from Kim Smith, and her question is, if I found a deal that meets my investors' and sponsors' criteria and we move forward, what is my role once the deal is closed, and will my name be on the deed to the property? So, number one, your role is going to be to manage that property because your sponsor is not going to be managing the properties. I mean, some of them want to be involved, but most of them take a back seat once you close the deal. They have to be in the deal until the deal is sold because they have signed on the dotted line. And your name could be on the deed if you can co-sponsor the deal and you don't have any blips on your credit. So, but you're going to be in the deal from beginning to end, reading reports, notifying the investors of what's going on with the property. You've got a big role. So, plan on being busy. The next question is from Stephen Johnson from Miami, Florida. I am trying to figure out management fees for certain properties. I have been looking at OMs and seeing fees of 4-5% on units 25 or lower. I thought the management fee for properties that size are 8-10. Has anything changed in the last couple of years? Not to my knowledge. I mean, 4-5% on 25 units, that's a pretty good deal because normally it's 8-10%. 10 being, you know, for something under 20 units, 8% being over 20 units. But, yeah, nothing's changed. It's the same old, same old. So if you're seeing them, you want to know whether that property is bundled up with a lot of other properties that they manage for that same seller, which could be the reason why the management fee is lower, because they have so many units with this same management company. That's my take on it. Anybody want to add something?
Anything? Well,
I guess not.
Just call.
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
You need to go into that market and call up several property management companies in that area and ask them what they charge for the fee. Because if you're looking at a 5% fee compared to like an 8 or a 10, you have to find out what they do. What do they do for make-readies? What do they do to lease up? What do they charge? So it's all in what they're doing. You could pay 10% and you could have a bunch of things done, or you could pay 5% and not have a lot of things done. So you really need to know. A good place to call is the Apartment Association. They can refer some property management companies in the area. So that's what I think. You need to do a lot of research on the property management companies, on what they do for you when you're looking at the smaller ones. How's that? Could everyone understand me? I am fighting a cold, Chris McKenna.
I understood you perfectly fine. Not funny, Jermaine. Jeff is very talkative today. It must be because he's heading to Hawaii in a few weeks. Unbelievable. Tammy's there now, then Jeff's going. What's wrong with this picture?
At least you're going to California, Jeannie.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to bring up, too, right?
Yeah.
Well, I am going to New York this weekend, and
you're going to be in New Jersey, Secaucus, New Jersey.
And if anyone has any connections, because what we're going to do on Saturday is go to find cheap tickets to try to get into The Lion King as one of our shows. But if anyone has any Broadway cheap tickets, discount tickets, email me at jlindahl@remetro.com.
Oh.
I guess that's how you do it, Jermaine. Did you get that?
I got it. Lion King cheap ticket.
We're going to the Stardust Diner. Can't wait.
And Jeannie,
okay.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. We have two new questions, okay? So just let me know if you want to take them.
Thank you. Good thing you interrupted, Lillian. I'm happy. Yes, I'll take the call.
Okay, up next we have Wesley. Wesley, please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
What's going on?
Okay. Well, I'm out here in California. This is Wesley Harris in Los Angeles. Good to see you guys last week. And
yeah.
You too.
Nice to talk to you, Jeff.
Yes, I got 59.
I'm not anyway, I just got, and I mean I just got, some information about a property in Texas that's about 30 minutes outside of San Antone. And it's a small town, and I've looked over some things real quick about the rent rolls and noticed that there were several that are rented to corporations. And it's 90% occupancy. And it was built in 2013. And I called one of the sponsors, Brian, to ask him some questions because I know he does a lot of things in Texas. And he said, ask what year it was built. And I told him 2013. And he said, find out if there's any tax credit. And I'm confused by that and didn't want to embarrass myself by admitting to a sponsor I didn't know. I thought I'd wait and call you guys. How do I find out about tax credits? Did I break off? Okay.
Is it in the property package? Do you have is it a regular Dallas on the market?
They sent me some stuff. I think I need to ask a few more questions.
It'll be spelled out, right? usually with a tax credit, right? There's some kind of like affordable housing that's involved. That's why they're getting the tax credits.
So you're seeing it
in the property package, and you might see it in the. Is that what he was referring to, Brian?
No, I don't. I don't think it was about affordable housing. I think it was about the state of Texas or the county giving a tax credit for building in the area.
Okay. So just go online, right? And they'll show you. Usually, if you go on the county's website, they'll give you a list of tax credits that are available. And then, I would call probably like the economic developer in there, or call the office of the building inspector and ask them. Then just ask who's in charge of tax credits in the area.
Seems like such a small town. I wonder if they have all those things. It's only a population of about 10,000, and as I said, it's about 30 minutes outside of San Antonio. And I didn't know if that's... Pardon?
10,000 people, 5,000 horses. It's a real small town in Texas.
So
if it's a small town, right, just call up the call down to the building department and say, hey, you know, you're looking at some properties down there, and like can you direct me who's in charge of like tax credits? It probably comes from the county though, you know, and they have like specific areas that they're giving them out to. That's what I would it's just like I check into it, but if the numbers look good and stuff like that, then when you talk to Brian's really cool, you know. So
yeah,
it's just like just tell him you did some research on it and like see if you can come up with some. It won't be a deal killer. He's just looking for some value plays maybe with tax credits.
Well,
property.
He also said he was a little wary of the fact that it was a small town because he did do one recently in a small town and it's not returning the numbers that he was expecting, and he blamed that mostly on the lack of competition in the area because of being a small town. So I just didn't know if you had any fears or anything to add. You know, I'm still a newbie. I've been around a while and I've learned a lot, but I haven't gotten a deal under my belt, and I want to change that. And so I find I'm excited. And Brian's putting the brakes on.
You're gonna have to.
Brian's just looking to protect you.
Yeah, I agree, and I want to be protected. That's one of the reasons I gave him a call. I don't want to make a mistake or get overly excited or get, you know, anything out of line. I look at the basic numbers, and it's a 90% occupancy. You know, they talk like there's upside, but I also think they might know something that they're not sharing. That's part of what we try. Our due diligence is all about trying to find out those things. I just thought I'd ask, and if I could get any advice. And I thank you for what you've offered.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And like, let me know how you find out. If you go about it right, and you can't find anything, just shoot me an email. And like, I'll see what I can find. Yeah. Okay.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Have a great day, Wesley.
Yeah. Have a good trip.
Oh, it's 2:00. I wonder if anyone else is in the queue.
We have one more.
Oh, good. Then it's lunchtime.
Okay, up next we have Paul. Paul, please go ahead.
Hey, yeah, this is Paul calling back, and I've been listening to you. And how do you balance? So a seller receives an LOI. Of course, they want to close as soon as possible, right? and yet I need time to do my paperwork with Kim Taylor, etc. And so would you suggest that I do a 60-day rather than a 45-day because I don't have all that paperwork yet? What are your any thoughts on that?
I would do a 90. I'd do a 90-day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking that
the
doesn't make me look very good to the seller.
Well, the,
listen, you need the time. You
do
need
I? Okay.
It. How many
okay.
units is it?
116.
Yeah, you need 90.
You absolutely need that time.
Okay, so I'm writing in that I want 90 days to do, I need 45 days to do due diligence and then 45 days after that? Is that what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. For commitment
okay.
from the bank. And
okay,
that
so
is
two,
your backout clause. If you fail
so two,
to get
four,
a commitment from the bank, you back out of the deal.
Right. So I ask for two 45-day periods.
Yep.
Okay, okay. So that's the way to phrase it. You'd so nowhere on my LOI is it gonna say 90 days, it's gonna say 45 days in two different segments.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, that helps me. Okay. And
you need that time, Paul. You gotta have that time because especially with the holidays and now it's the end of the year, people are rushing to spend money so that they don't have to pay taxes on it. But
yeah.
if you don't have your syndication documents, you can't take their money.
And can I start syndication before I have a deal? Can I get all that paperwork done and then we just slide in the name of the property?
No,
no you can't. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Unlikely
okay.
because you need an EIN number to get everything done. You need
right.
a tax identification number.
Right, right. Okay. Okay. Thank
and Paul,
you
just
help.
Because you asked for,
yeah.
And Paul, just because you asked for 45 doesn't mean that they're going to give it to you, but you do want to ask for it, though.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that helps me understand. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good day.
Okay. We have no further questions at the moment.
Okay, we're going to say c'est la vie so Jeff can go have lunch. I can finish doing what I'm doing here, and Jermaine can go at it and answer all the questions that you guys have asked that we didn't get to. And I will talk to you all later. Take care. Have a great week.
Have a good week.
For those of you in California, see you there. Jeff will see you in New Jersey, and Tammy will see you in Hawaii.
New York City.
Take care. Have a great
day. Going to New York. Times Square.
Wow. I saw on the paper it said 6 o'clock.
I'm going ice skating. I'm going ice skating. I'm seeing the Christmas trees.
Okay.
I'm going to fit in.
Okay, so we're going to have a good time instead of to work, right?
That's right. Jeannie's going to be over at her favorite beach, Manhattan Beach, right in the wave.
Have a great weekend. Everybody enjoy the rest of the week. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye.